Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in fellowship, membership, and partnership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Amen. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I will invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will. And I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart. Oh.
worship at his holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Give Love. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Luke chapter 6, verse 38 in the New Living Translation. And it says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over. To God be the glory. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Do you need love today? Of course, the first place we should always go is God. Amen? Praise be to God. But sometimes what we need is Jesus with flesh on. Amen. We yearn for other people to show us compassion and care. However, understand that the way you are going to have your need for love met is not by demanding love, but by giving it. Pouring out love to others readies your soul to receive it in a supernatural way. Therefore, find a place where you can serve others in the name of Jesus. Amen? Praise be to God. Get involved in an outreach ministry that is assisting people and care about them for who they are. Then, even before you get out of bed in the morning, ask the Lord to give you the compassion, wisdom, and strength to do at least one thing every day that will be beneficial to another person. Amen? You don't have to take on the world. Simply demonstrate to others that they matter to God. You have nothing to lose and so much to gain. So today, trust God to help you and then make an effort to do something to help or show love to another person. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you. Amen. Give love today and every day to someone. Let us pray. Jesus, open my eyes to others' needs and help me to love them as you would. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our devotional message for this morning. Praise God.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquities to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, leading me, guiding me, and restoring me. Called to walk in the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King.
Praise be to God. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. After the selection, I will be back with a word from the Lord. Unfortunately, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is still unavailable. She's still recuperating. And so I will be bringing the word this morning. Amen. But we want everyone to keep Apostle Mother Wiggins lifted up in their prayers. Praise be to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
Give somebody a high five and say, I'm going to get mine.
Hallelujah. I'm going to get mine. Inheritance. Praise be to God. All right. Now, it is time for the word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 1 through 32. Amen. Or wait, 23. My mistake. That's Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 23. Amen. Praise God. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And this chapter is about false proverb refuted. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and execute true judgment between man and man. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of those duties, but has eaten on the mountain or defiled his neighbor's wife, if he has oppressed the poor and needy, robbed by violence, not restored the pledge, lifted his eyes to the idols or committed abomination, if he has exactly usurers or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done and considers but does not do likewise, who has not eaten on the mountain, nor lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, has not oppressed anyone, nor withheld a pledge, nor robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing. Who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgment and walk in my statutes? He shall not die for the iniquities of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquities. You say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? To God be the glory for the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. So you see, God is perfect love, but he also dispenses perfect justice. His perfect love causes him to be merciful to those who recognize their sin and turn back to him. But he cannot overlook those who willfully sin. Wicked people die both physical and spiritual. God takes no joy in their deaths. He would prefer that they turn to him and have eternal life. Likewise, we should not rejoice in the misfortune of non-believers. Instead, we should do all in our power to bring them to faith. Amen. Praise God. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you today to acknowledge you as our sovereign creator, Lord, and Redeemer. We come acknowledging you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank you for life. We thank you for love. We thank you for hope. We thank you for your forgiveness and for the gift of new life. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you with our material substance. accepted as an expression of the gratitude of our hearts. Blessed to the end that others shall experience your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Responsibility is a battle scarred word in our vocabulary. It has been misunderstood, misapplied, manipulated, and kicked around in general, has been the victim of extreme fickleness. One day, we love it, praise it, define it, and cherish it. The next day, under a different set of circumstances, we ignore it, evade it, run from it, and pretend it doesn't exist. At times, responsibility is terrible, hard to live with. It's terribly hard to live with. But there is no escaping it. Run away from it, and it catches up with you. Pretend that it's not there. And when you round the next corner, it will be staring you in the face. Amen? This is God's sovereign plan. So whether the focus is on our country, our God, or ourselves, we must deal with the matter of responsibility. In spite of all the problems that beset us today, those of Ezekiel and his people, 10,000 strong and miles away from their homeland, were far worse. It was time for God to come to grips with the issue, thus in a private audience with his young prophet, God dealt with the responsibility. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. And it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquities of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Praise be to God. My title for this message this morning is Responsibility, Individual or Collective. Amen. First, God dealt with the past. Now, First, God dealt with the past. There is an attribute of God that is baffling to us humans, for whom life and time are divided into past, present, and future. With God, there is no past, and in a manner of speaking, to no future. He is above and beyond time, because he is the eternal God who had no beginning and will have no ending. He exists in the eternal present. When Jesus was defending his deity before his enemies, He said in John 8 and 58, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was. But nonetheless, a human being has a past. And though it is folded like a dry flower between the pages of yesterday's chapter, the past is very much there. And often it demands to be heard, to be dealt with. Amen? Now, anyway you look at it, when we are born, we come into a world that is filled with circumstances we did not create. The heavy hand of the past rests upon us. And many times a young lad will grow into manhood and go off to fight and die in a war he did not start and may know very little about. And likewise, Ezekiel and his people in exile were caught in a situation they did not create. But in that almost impossible dilemma, God had called them to make their lives count for him. Because of the compounded sins of their fathers before them, they were shunned away from their homeland and from all they had counted dear. It was easy for them to become cynical. They had a proverb that went like this in Ezekiel 18 and 2. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And when these Hebrews quoted this proverb to each other, they were trying to cover up their guilt with some bad jokes. God and his justice. Against God and his justice. God wants us to forget the past. God said to Ezekiel, I am tired of hearing the people quote their sarcastic little proverb. I am weary and hearing them live in the past and feel sorry for themselves because of the consequences they are suffering as a result of their father's sins. True enough, their fathers may have eaten sour grapes, but tell your people, Ezekiel, that they cannot escape the responsibilities for themselves and for their own sins and shortcomings. Hallelujah, Jesus. This brings us then to the way in which God deals with the present and the corresponding responsibilities he has placed upon us. When children are born into this world, they must be cared for immediately or they will die. Nevertheless, a baby is an individual who is different from every other individual in the world. When the child reaches the age of responsible choice, amen, he or she must make moral decisions. It is not always easy to make choices. And most of the time, we would rather have other people make them for us. This is the situation Ezekiel faced. His people were shirking their moral responsibilities. They wanted to accept the neighborhood standards, to drift with the tide. They were in Babylon. Let's live like the Babylonians, they were saying. They felt God had failed them and was punishing them for their father's sins. So they had decided quietly to forget about God. Then it was that God gave Ezekiel a word for his people. Amen. Praise be to God. And Ezekiel 18:4 in the RSV, God said, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins shall die." And we can state that same truth positively and say, the soul that is righteous will live. What is life? What is life? It can mean mere biological existence, or it can mean an awareness of God and of his desire to become involved in a person, in a person's life. What is death? It can mean the end of one's biological functions, one's physical life, or it can mean annihilation and separation from God. Here, of course, God is speaking to his people about spiritual life and death. Hallelujah. It is a tragic fallacy of human nature that in times of prosperity, a person is tempted to credit himself with the blessings he enjoys. But in times of adversity, he is tempted to blame all of his troubles on his forefathers, his enemies, or God. Certainly, there is nothing wrong with examining as carefully as possible the historical events that have brought about a particular tragedy, the consequences of which we are suffering. But in the midst of the tragedy, we must remember that individuals are still responsible before God for their actions. Nobody can be righteous for you. Not parents, church, or state. And you cannot be righteous for anyone else. But neither can one generation keep another generation from receiving spiritual life from God. No person can hide spiritually behind his family, his tribe, or his nation. Each one of us is individually responsible to God for the way we live in a world we did not create. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Finally, let's see how God deals with the future in regard to our relationship with him. In our day of massive organization, we as individuals sometimes wonder if our life matters much one way or the other. Hallelujah. Ponder on that. Is our life matters much one way or the other? It does. Absolutely, it does. A left fielder on a baseball team is unquestionably a part of the team. Yet, when the ball is coming his way and the sun is in his eyes. What he does as an individual, it's what counts. And here is a more serious illustration. A man, a husband, a father says, my wife takes care of the religion in our family. Really? The man is the head of the house, not the wife. What is he doing? He is destroying his own spiritual life, and he is endangering the spiritual lives of his children. All in an easy, gracious, and charming manner. He is not an evil man by society's standards. His personal ethics may be up to the standards of his community, but he has simply not made room for the Almighty God in his life. Spiritually, he is dying on his feet. Ezekiel was preaching to a group of people, most of whom were pleasant and charming. They were not cursing God, but neither were they willing to accept the responsibility of serving him. But listen to God's word to them. Words that apply as much to us today as they did to those people in ancient Babylon. He said in Ezekiel 18, verse 21 and verse 32, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, said the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Yea. In all of this, God was saying, I care for you. I made you so that you can respond to my love indeed. You may live at a time in history when things are bad, and the consequences you are suffering may stem from problems you did not create. But wherever you are right now, in whatever valley of shadows you may find yourself, you can make life count if you will turn to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All we have to do is turn to him. Amen. To God be the glory. You see, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. As to eternity, every man was, is, and will be dealt with. As his conduct shows him to have been under the old covenant of works or the new covenant of grace, whatever outward suffering come upon men through the sins of others, they deserve for their own sins all they suffer. And the Lord overrules every event for the eternal good of believers. All souls are in the hand of the great Creator. He will deal with them in justice or mercy. Nor will any perish for the sins of another who is not in some sense worthy of death for his own. We all have sinned. Our souls must be lost. If God deals with us according to his holy law, but we are invited to come to Christ. If a man who had shown his faith by his work had a wicked son whose character and conduct were the reverse of his parents, could it be expected he should escape the divine vengeance on account of his father's piety? Surely not. And should a wicked man have a son who walked before God as righteous, this man would not perish for his father's sins. If the son was not free from evils in this life, still he should be partaker of salvation. The question here is not about the metaphorous ground of justification, but about the Lord's dealing with the righteous and the wicked. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. And now, as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say to you this morning, we could call these events in which Ezekiel participated a dress rehearsal for God's final triumph on earth. These people to whom Ezekiel prophesied and through whom God had chosen to bring his son into the world were not important socially or politically. They were exiles, but God promised he would return them to their home. Before they could return, however, they had to become spiritually fit. They had to receive a new kind of life that only God could give them. And so it is with us. God wants to bring humankind back to him, but he will not, he cannot, until people repent of their sins and receive God's free gift of eternal life. That is the personal responsibility of each one of us. We stand alone in this choice. And I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Amen. And I sit here this morning asking you or inviting you to turn from your wicked ways and come back to God. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross rose from the dead, is alive, and hears your prayer. I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. And my benediction for this morning is coming from Jude chapter 24 and through 25, where it says, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Unfortunately, our very own psalmist, Barbara Amore, could not be with us this morning. So I will be bringing a a poem from her book, The Profundity of God, A Spiritual Anthology in Poetry, by Barbara A. Amore. Amen. And the title of this poem is My Thank You Prayer. Dearest Heavenly Father, for waking me up this morning, Lord, I thank you. For making me aware of your being in my life, Lord God, thank you. For your loving me even when I did not have sense enough to love myself, Lord, I thank you. For being with me always and in all ways, thank you, Lord. When they said I would not make it, Lord, I'm making it with your help. Even though I may not always hear you, I can feel you. And that's when you make me smile. You make me laugh. Sometimes you make me want to dance. Sometimes you make me shout and call out. You cause me to weep happily, rejoicing that you're near, rejoicing that you're in me, on me, over me, under me, all the while going through me and being all encompassing. All the time I may be going through, and Lord, there are times when you are just good because you are just good. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is sad. Nothing is sad. Nobody's hurting me. I'm not mad. It's just you, your boundless wisdom and your love. You make me take notice of the things of beauty that surrounds me, things I might not notice had I not experienced your presence. Things like rainbows in the sky, beautiful flowers in bloom, a baby's tender, delicate skin. A soft caring and gentle touch, the secret in the air after a rain shower, a sweet, loving butterfly kiss on the lips, a deep, hearty laugh, a clean house, a pure heart, and stars. Star power for fruits of the spirit and for all these things and more. For gratitude, for faithfulness, peace, kindness, love, generosity. I could go on and on, but not now. So for being who you are, Lord, I thank you. For doing me like you do me, Lord, I thank you. For life, health, and strength, you are my rock, my sword, my shield, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. For things that don't even make sense, yet knowing that they all come from you, they are heaven sent. Lord, I have no thank you. I have to thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, praise be to God, I will play another selection for our inspirational music. Thank you, Jesus.
how you could give me so much mercy. You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary. But I just wanna thank you. I gotta thank you. Yes, I do. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful.
Together we fill up the basket with our tithes and offerings to give because we love and we want to be a part in the building of God's kingdom on earth. You can send your love gift offerings to House of Vanessa Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468. For God loves a cheerful giver. In Hebrew, it is said, Baruch ata Adonai Elohim melech haolam, sheheko nihiya bivaro, sheheko bara likvodo, shetamid sukeh bivecho, shekoko melech haolam, veshemu vadam eshua meshikenu. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings about everything by his word, who creates all for his glory, who always remembers his covenant, whose power fills the universe, in the name and blood of Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
kingdom builder.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move, and have my being. Say it again. No matter what.
The problem may be,
He's in control,
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
Him I live, I move,
and have my day. He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
If
you believe that, sing this with us. Let's go.
Come on,
this is easy.
Higher,
come on, lift them up.
Lift them up.
You can
Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to share some wonderful stories of prayer for a healthy soul by Billy Graham, Max Lucado, Joni Erickson, Tata, and others. Amen. And my first story is entitled Visiting the Sneeds. Amen. By Charlotte Adelsberger. And God's Word in Mark 4, 23 through 24 in the NL says, anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand, and be sure to pay attention to what you hear. Amen. Have you ever had the sense of being pulled in many directions, different directions, by all there is to do? An experience I had as a young mother taught me to allow prayer to prioritize my task. I was pregnant and tired. Most of my energy was going into caring for our toddler, Karen. But one day, with snow falling outside and a whirlwind of errands swirling in my head, a particular to-do item came to mind. It was early as I began my cherished quiet time. I prayed silently and read my Bible. After a time, I took out a notebook and listed the many things I needed to do. Sensing God's presence, I felt a loving desire to put Mr. and Mrs. Sneed, homebound members of our church, at the top of my list. I knew making time to visit them would not be easy, but the scriptures pointed to the conquering attitude God wanted for me. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 4:11. I'll never forget trotting up to the Sneed's house that freezing afternoon, gripping Karen's hand. I stepped over the slick spots. Pausing at the door, I prayed for God's blessings upon the visit. But I still wondered, was I following God's lead, or was I foolish to go out in such treacherous weather? Mr. Sneed beamed when he saw Karen and me, but he seemed worn and tense. A few minutes later, he pushed his wife's wheelchair into the room. The couple delighted in our conversation, and they obviously loved watching Karen play with toys. They seemed to savor this Friday afternoon visit as we prepared to leave. I prayed with them. I thank God for Jesus and for the Sneeds. Finally, I asked his blessings on their Christmas. Sunday morning brought a shock. Our pastor announced that on Saturday, Mr. Sneed had died suddenly of a heart attack. I was stunned, but I knew then that God had guided me to visit them. On the day before Mr. Sneed went to his heavenly home, that winter day was a turning point for me. Since then, I have been ending my appointment with God with a follow-up listening and planning period. I listen for God's leading, and I list each task or goal on a slip of paper the size of an index card. Then I prayerfully stack them in prioritized order. I no longer keep long, overwhelming lists. Focus on the Lord. I am able to carry out one activity at a time. Some things get saved for another day. In the long run, I have more opportunities for meaningful service in my home or other situations where the Lord might want me. It's a rich adventure in Christ, and I'm learning that the best shortcuts to service begin with my morning greeting, with my morning meetings just with Him. Words of wisdom. Presumptuous prayer speaks to God without first listening to Him. It obviously, anxiously, or pretentiously multiplies human words to God, but with, at best, a distracted, indifferent, or fitful interest in God's words to us. But God speaks to us before we speak to Him. If we pray without listening, we pray out of context. God's promise in Proverbs 19 and 20. Listen to advice and accept instructions, and in the end, you will be wise. Prayer. O Lord, I believe that you have a personal plan for my life that will affect the world around me for you if I will daily spend time with you in prayer and diligently look for you and listen to you through your word and spirit. Cause me to meet with you every day in a regular appointment for the rest of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Wove me to your word. Increase my faith and develop within me an incredible love for you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that lovely story this morning. And now I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks. Thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in and listening and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this morning. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now that all hearts are on one accord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a blessed day, everyone. God bless you. We love you. And shalom. And we will be leaving out on All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. God bless you. See you on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Have a blessed weekend.
Belongs to you. Trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.